scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. Then said the king unto her, "What wilt thou, Queen Esther, and what is thy request? It shall be given thee to the half of my kingdom." I'm here to tell you, when you stand in righteousness, not only does faith flow, but favor can come. Well, the story is that they trapped Haman, and Haman ended up hanging himself on the same gallows that he built for Mordecai. But I'm just showing you an act of righteousness right there. Now, so righteousness is not only a nature of God, but it's a force that comes out of the human spirit. Let me give you some scriptures on righteousness, and here's what they say. One, Proverbs 28:1 says, "Righteous, the righteous are as bold as a lion." Proverbs 3:32 says, "The secret of the Lord is with the righteous." In other words, he'll give the righteous revelation. 1 Peter 3:12 says that the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and his ears are open to their prayers. So answered prayer comes through righteousness. Reigning as kings come through righteousness. Proverbs 12:26 says excellence comes through righteousness. Proverbs 12:5 says right thoughts come through righteousness. Proverbs 11:21 says deliverance for the seed comes through righteousness. In other words, the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. And Proverbs 10:24 says the desires of the righteous shall be granted. Proverbs 13:22, most of you know this, the wealth of the wicked is laid up for who? The righteous. And Psalms 37:29 says the righteous shall inherit the earth. And Psalms 37:25 says, David says, "I am old and now, and I was young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread." Now, the only thing I'm trying to do is somehow relate this whole idea of righteousness over to faith. Because once righteousness is there and a person has a sense of being in right standing with God, peace flows, assurance flows, quietness flows. All these things, restoration can take place. And all these things come through righteousness. All right, let's kind of head on down here. Glory to God, my Lord. All right, turn over to Luke again, chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. Now, I'm going to have to take a little more time. Just a little more time. Y'all don't mind if I take just a little more time. There's a little more time, all right? Because I wanted to give you that on righteousness because that is key. I remember one time when I was walking, I was downtown in LaSalle Street, and I was downtown going to the bank. Now, this is when we had first gotten here, and we didn't have really anything, any ministry started, anything like that. But here I was walking downtown on LaSalle Street, and I was going to the bank because I think I was going to meet somebody. So on my way down there, I just noticed some commotion on the other side of LaSalle Street. If you know anything about LaSalle Street, that's a very wide street in downtown Chicago. So I was there and I heard that commotion, and I just kind of glanced over there and looked like I saw somebody kind of in a fight or something like that. But I didn't notice it. I kept, you know, I mind my own business. And so I'm walking down the street, and there's a man about 10 paces in front of me. And then he started looking back at me. Now, the commotion was over there on the other side of the street. But he started looking back at me. And then I kind of looked at him and said, "What is this man looking at?" And the Lord spoke to me and said, "Go over there to the man." This is on the other side of the street. Well, you know, I just kept walking where I was because I'm saying, I want to say, "Get thee behind me," you know. And then he spoke to me again, said, "Go over there." And I could hear it. And this guy kept looking at me. So it convicted me. So I said, "All right, let me go over here." And then I glanced over there and looked like a guy was over there, and he looked like he was cussing loud. I mean, swinging at people and so forth. And now they're kind of a ring of people, you know, but he was kind of making his way very slowly as he was just really acting up. I mean, like he was out of his mind. And he looked like it maybe was a homeless person or something like that. And then I looked to see if any cars are coming. No cars are coming. I started to cross that street. Now, when I put my foot down in that street and began to cross that street, something happened to me. I cannot tell you what happened to me. All fear left of what was going to happen to me, of whether he was bigger than me or whatever, because he was a tall guy. And so it left. And as I went on across that street, it got stronger. Now, this is righteousness rising up in me, see. And then as I got on the other side of the street and got behind the guy, it looks like the devil knew I was back there. And the guy kind of whirled around like this. Now, normally in that particular situation, this is when I would say, well, I guess I missed God on that one. I praise God. But then I'm walking towards him. And as I walk towards the guy, his gait and everything begin to shrink. His shoulders begin to shrink. And now, how many of you know I had some spectators? See, because the whole earth is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. The whole earth is waiting for it. And so here I come, and I'm walking towards a guy, and by the time I got to him, he was there, and I put my arm, I said, come on, let's go down here. I said, what's your problem? He said, they stole my cigarettes, or something like that. So I then went on and prayed for him down there, and prayed for his deliverance, prayed for him to get saved, and so forth and so on. My point is, it's very interesting that nothing of the devil can stand before the force of righteousness. Nothing. No disease, no lack, no nothing. I'm telling you, part of the people's problem is not faith. It's righteousness. All right, let me keep going. Okay, so what we said is that the just shall live by what? Faith. And we said what faith is the substance, come on, of things hoped for, the what else? The evidence of things not seen. All right, then, glory to God. Turn with me over to Hebrews and Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Let me know when you get there. Verse 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Over in the Amplified, it says this. Now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed. Now faith is the title deed. The title deed of what? Okay, the things you hope for. Well, what do you hope for? See, what you hope for has to be consistent with what the word says. Okay? Now, God made a promise to his people that they were to inherit what land? Canaan. Say Canaan. Canaan is God's best. How many of y'all have ever said, I want the worst education I can get? How many of y'all ever said, I'm going to find me the worst doctor I can find? How many of you ever said, Pastor, how can I have the worst marriage anybody ever had? What's the opposite of that? God promised you the best of life. Everything there is out here, the best of that belongs to you. No, you don't have to. No, it's not you working for it. Canaan means rest. It's already been paid for. And it's yours. And
and it's the best in the earth. And the enemy has done all kinds of things, including the media, to try to frame our thinking so we won't think best. If anything, think getting by. This will do. And that is not God. That is not God. It's the best. When Jesus was to get a donkey, he said, you go into that city and you'll find a man with a donkey tied up that ain't never been rode. That's a brand new car. He did not have a used car to pick him up and take him into Jerusalem. Come on now. I'm saying the thing of it is that people think first they got to pay for it. That's the first mistake. I'm going to take you on out there now. Come on out there with me. Your healing's been what? Paid for. Your salvation's been what? Paid for. And your house, come on, been paid for. All of it's been paid for. Now, he'll tell you how to get it, because what he does is many times has you to sow a seed, or has you to give you the money supernaturally. But whatever it is, because it's already been paid for, he won't let you work for it, because it's been paid for. What he'll do is be responsible for getting you the money so that you can just put it on the house. But he took care of the whole thing. He supplied the house and the money. It's been paid for. You see, the media has tried to give you movies, and you don't, when you see rich people in the movies, they always try to associate the rich with evil, because they need to keep the poor coming to the movie. Who are the biggest user of movies and buying all them videos? When my wife and I used to witness in Tulsa, we used to go by the projects and witness. I'm telling you, sometime we go in there, don't look like nobody's home. We knock on the door, and somebody finally answers the door. We hear that big TV, and we open the door, and they all sitting around in there looking at this big, huge TV. They ought to be all working, and they're looking at this big, huge TV, and it's busy reinforcing. Reinforcing, see? I mean, everything from Titanic to Beverly Hills Cop to everything. It's always in Dallas, when they finally give you somebody rich, they're gonna make them immoral. Sure, let's figure the thing out. God glory to God. Don't just be gullible. Now, this stuff been paid for. Christ has what? Redeemed us from what? The curse. We've been redeemed from lack. We've been redeemed from debt. We've been redeemed from sickness. We've been redeemed from unsaved kids. We've been redeemed from bad marriages. We've been redeemed from... We've been redeemed from that. Now, so that the blessing of who? Abraham. Well, look how Abraham was blessed. He owned half the county. He owned houses. He owned land. He owned employees. He owned businesses. He owned transportation system. Today, that would be airlines. That would be trucking companies. That
How
many of y'all remember he ended up in a pig pen, feeding hogs for a living? And then the Bible says he what? He came to himself. He woke up. I think something in every one of us is a remnant of what Adam was really like. Adam couldn't go 3 feet without bumping into a bunch of grapes because it was plenty in that garden. The word Eden means place of voluptuous living. You weren't meant to live hard. Come on, you weren't meant to struggle. You weren't designed to worry. You are all that is of the curse. You've been redeemed. Say, I'm redeemed. Glory to God. We want the best education, but we don't want the best car. We want the best this, but we don't want the best that. Why? Because of people. People, somehow, if you drive up around here in a Rolls Royce, you think you'll be laughed at. But let me tell you, I don't think you've been blessed enough if you ain't a little ashamed. When I say that, mean not being ashamed, mean I'm ashamed, but I'm saying, come on, I'm driving all this, and they just at the raggedy, and but I'm going to keep driving it anyhow. That's what I'm saying. You just feel it. Ooh, Lord, can I really drive this all up in there? Drive it, honey. Put it on, girl. Why? Because the nature of God is best. He's only expressing his nature. And listen, I'm not coming out on anybody, whatever have you. I'm not saying that. I'm saying God is moving on his own up now.
Yes.
He's ever increasing what? Faith. He's going to move you on. He's going to move you on now. Now, we know we don't use it all on ourselves. That's not the idea. The idea is to have enough so you can bless somebody else. But I'm going to tell you, ain't nothing wrong with wearing, you know. Look at Matthew chapter 7. I'm going to have to finish this. My Lord. Title deed. Say title deed. Faith is that title. See, you can't get it unless you got the title. You can't get it unless you got the title. The title indicates who owns it. The deed indicates it's a legal document that's been recorded. Faith is a title deed. Jesus said, God said in this Bible, he said, all things are yours. Let me show you another scripture. Where I tell you to turn. Matthew chapter 7. Now read this like you never read it before. Take them religious glasses off. Now when I say that, I mean don't look at this thing religiously. Are you with me here? Look what it says in Matthew chapter 7, and I'm going to start reading at verse 7. Glory to God. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asketh receiveth. He that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened. But what if man of you who is asked... If his son shall ask bread, would he give him a stone? If he asks fish, would he give him a serpent? Now, if ye then been evil, watch this, know how to give what? Good gifts to who? Your children. How much more shall your, come on, Father which is in where? Give what? To them that what? He's talking about he's going to give you something that you can better than you can get in the natural. I'm here to tell you right now that this thing has been hidden. And the enemy has trying to get us to settle for what we can just settle for. And that is not God's will for you. He promised you Canaan. He did not promise you the wilderness. Say amen to that. Amen. So I'm just saying, if you don't have the best in your life, that's all right. Don't get down on yourself. That's not the issue. The issue is just know that this is about better homes and gardens. Glory to God. All right. Now, what about faith? And let me just finish this now. Faith is acting on the Word of God. Faith is acting on the Word of God. Faith is, come on, acting on the Word of God. Turn to 2 Kings chapter 7, please. Faith is acting on the Word of God. Glory to God. Let me know when you get there. Whew. Boy, I preached that right then. That thing came through. Y'all got that. I felt it in your spirit. It got in there. Praise the Lord. It got in there. Oh, boy, boy. Hallelujah. I'm just only saying that how the enemy has tried to talk us out of certain things, you know. He'll let you go for the nicest and try to get the best doctor or best dentist or and so forth and so on. But when you come over to material things, that's when he starts closing in. Yes, indeed, because you're about to express something there. Look what it says here in 2 Kings chapter 7. Have you got it? Verse 1, and Elijah said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel and two measures of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. In other words, it's going to be plenty and it's going to be cheap. Look what it said in verse 2, and the Lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be. And he said, behold, you will see it with your eyes, but you won't eat it. In other words, here was a man that came up with some doubt. And he told this prophet who said that, the prophet was Elijah. He told Elijah, ain't no way that's going to happen. There ain't no way we're going to have plenty by tomorrow. There ain't no way this miracle. If God would open up windows of heaven and pour stuff out, there's no way that this whole multitude here in Samaria is going to be blessed by tomorrow. And Elijah said to him, you're going to see it, but you're not going to partake of it. Look at verse 3. And there were four leprous men at the entering end of the gate. And they said one to another, why are we going to sit here till we die? Watch this next verse. If we say we'll enter into the city, and the famine is in the city, and we'll die there. If we sit here, we're going to die also. Now, therefore, why don't we come and get into this enemy's camp? Why don't we fall into the host of the Syrians? If they save us alive, we'll live. And if they kill us, come on. We but die. Now, what was the condition of these men? Come on. Okay, no. Health-wise. Leprous. They were unclean. In other words, in their own righteousness, they were as filthy rags. All right, now watch this. Now, just get to verse 5. And they rose up at when? Twilight. And to go into the camp of the Syrians. And when they were coming to the uttermost part of the camp of the Syria, behold, there was no man there. In other words, the people were gone. And the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots, the noise of horses, and even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel has hired against us, and the king of the Hittites, and the kings of the Egyptians, and to come upon us. In other words, the children of Israel, king of Israel, has gone out and got other armies, and they're going to come against us to take us. That's what they thought. That's what their imagination was playing games on them. Now, wherefore, they arose and fled when? When did they flee? Now, let me go back up here and go up at verse 5, and let's see when the lepers got up and made up their mind, they're going to move. When did the Syrian army flee from the camp? But when did the lepers rise up and get ready to go? I'm saying twilight represents if you got just a little revelation in here. If you got just a little, just rise up with what you got. Now, once you start acting on the word, God's hand moves. So God's hand moved in that enemy's camp, and they heard noises. Now, I know they heard some noises, probably them angels. And them angels, you know, and the Syrians got afraid and scattered. Now, when they scattered, here come some lepers. Most of them, probably four of them there, some of them couldn't hardly walk. Lepers is a disease that affects the appendages or your limbs and so forth. So they were probably just kind of dragging along. But that's all God needs is just a little bit of faith. Come on now. Come on. Some of y'all need to face your fears. You need to make up your mind tonight. I'm not fearing another man. I'm not fearing another situation. I'm not fearing another flight first class. I'm not fearing anything. I'm going to get up and rise and go into the enemy's camp. You don't have to be perfect. What you need to do is understand your righteousness comes from him. Don't forget about your past. Forget about what you, I know you did it. Confess it. If you confess your sins, he's faithful and just, come on, to forgive you your sins and cleanse you from all what? Unrighteousness. Why? So you can get righteous again and feel like you're in fellowship with God. It's all they had. They didn't have much. They didn't have much. I'm telling you, saints, we don't need much. Just a little bit of faith. Glory to God. And they went in there, and the Bible says that verse 8, and when the lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into the tent and did eat and drink and carried then silver and gold and Big Macs, designer clothes. Well, went and hit it and then came again. You can see him now. Hey, hey, Joe, look here. Check me out, Joe. Check me out. Hi. The enemy got the stuff. But remember, faith takes. Are you with me? Turn to John chapter 1. I'm about done. John chapter 1. Glory to God. John chapter 1. So faith is acting, come on the word of God. Don't be just a hearer only, but be a doer as well. John chapter 1. You've got it, don't you? Look what it says here in verse 1. In the beginning was a what?
The
word. The word was with who?
God.
And the word was who?
God.
Verse 14, and the word was made what?
Flesh.
And did what? Let me give you another rendition of that particular verse. The word took flesh. You see, I don't care what it is, when the word comes into the earth, it takes. When you send that word out after something, it takes.
Amen.
Say amen to that.
Amen.
And let me just end with this. Faith is a law. That's found in Romans chapter 3. I won't go there. But a law is something that works the same way every time. It doesn't work one way one time and another way another time. No, it works the same way each time. So faith is a law. The law of electricity can cook your meal and warm the baby's milk and provide. Faith can do all of that. It's a law. All right, let's just finish up here at Luke chapter 17 and just finish reading that scripture and we'll be done. Now, before you leave, just hold on just a minute. I just want to read this. I want to say something before you leave. My Lord. My Lord. Acting on the word. He told one man in Luke chapter 17, he told the, in Luke chapter 17, and verse 11, there were 10 lepers. He said, go show yourself to the priest. Did they act on his word? And as they went, they were what? They were healed. Over in John chapter 9, he told one man who was blind, he said, go wash in the pool of Siloam.
Yeah.
And the Bible says when the man went and washed, he was what? He was healed. He told Naaman, who had leprosy, over in 2 Kings, he said, go dip 7 times, come on, in the River Jordan. And Naaman started riding away because he at least thought the man of God was going to come out and tell him himself. But the man of God refused to do that. He sent his servant out. So just because I don't come, I may send the word. You take the word and act on the word. Look what it said in Luke chapter 17. I'll start reading at verse 7. But which of you having a servant, plowing, feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by when he has come in from the field, now go sit down to meat. In other words, go rest yourself. Go sit on the couch a little while. Take it easy. No, he said, don't say that. Rather not say unto him, make ready, wherewith I may sup. Gird thyself and keep serving me until I have eaten and drunken, and afterward you can eat and drink. He is saying this. When you start working your faith, and your faith starts working, and it brings in that blessing, or brings in that healing, or gets that new home, or whatever, get people saved, whatever you've been working your faith to do. After your faith has finished working, don't let him go and lie on the couch like a lounge lizard.
and just lie around, because your faith will begin to get weak. But put him back out there. Make him work for you. And remember, when Jesus spoke to that tree, he went ahead and went to sleep. And while he was asleep, come on, faith was working.